is Jared of the G. I'm on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Titans and Colts on Sunday, and they are retiring Eddie George and Steve McNair's number 9 and 27 uniforms. And usually I'm of the belief that sports talk radio is done better looking forward than it is looking backwards. It's called looking through the windshield and not the rearview mirror. And I believe in that, and every study in the media will tell you that. But I do think there are certain occasions where you've got to take a look back and you've got to honor or remember or respect something in the past that meant so much to your franchise, or to even, in I think the case of these two guys, the history of the city. So I know you've got to feel like a proud papa, Floyd, on Sunday as Eddie George and Steve McNair have their jerseys officially retired by the Titans, and the celebration that goes on with that all throughout the week. By the way, Pac-Man going to be in town. Are you going to catch up with Pac-Man at any point this week?
I don't know.
Shoot the breeze with him.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see when he gets into town.
Tell Pac-Man thank you for getting you fired.
I think those guys were kind of pioneers, which got them going. You know, I mean, when we first got here, let's face it, Steve was not the most popular guy.
No.
You know, now Eddie was pretty popular right off the bat. And then as it went on, of course, Steve got to the point where he was as popular as anybody, and they were both guys that I think, generally speaking, the people in town could point to and say, hey, that's my running back, and I'm proud of it, you know, kind of thing. I mean, they gave you a source of pride because they could do things that not many humans could do.
They were respected nationally, I think, and against the guys they played, as much as any Titan who's ever played for the Titans.
Well, it's funny because if you ask people, you know, give me one thing about each one of these guys or something, I mean, almost the same words will come out of everybody's mouth. It doesn't matter if they're in Alaska or if they're in Florida. You know, they kind of throw out the same adjectives. So it's, you know, it's nice that that they're recognized that way.
I remember I used to watch the Jeff Fisher show on Monday nights on NewsTube, Monday Night Live with Jeff Fisher, and they had the breakdown before the final Steven-Eddie game against New England in the playoffs, and both Steve McNair and Eddie George were on the injury report. And I remember they showed a clip of Bill Belichick in Foxborough at the press conference going, they're going to play. Like, trust me, they're going to play. And obviously they did, and that was a whale of a ball game, and that was the final one. So I've come up with 5 games, Floyd, that as somebody who grew up a Titan fan, was 9 years old when the Titans became the Titans, went to the Super Bowl, remember it like it was yesterday, 5 moments that I feel were just huge moments in the career of Steve McNair and Eddie George. And there's a lot more than 5. I mean, you know, Steve McNair had a game against Houston where he lit it up and threw for like 350 yards or something like that and really put himself in the MVP discussion. Eddie George had tons of games against Oakland and Cleveland and Jacksonville and a game against New Orleans in 99 where he just absolutely took over. And those moments did not make my top 5 list. But 5 moments, and I got the NFL films or an old breakdown or an old highlight of each one of them because there's certain things we can and cannot play, apparently. And I want to go over kind of the 5 moments, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Okay. Let's start with the number 5 moment, the 2000 against Pittsburgh. The Titans enter the game 1-1. Steve McNair in week 2 against Kansas City knocked out against the Chiefs. And I remember there was some booing going on in the crowd when Steve McNair got knocked out. I guess there was some cheering the way that it was put when Steve McNair got knocked out of the game. Bruce Sternum, Neil O'Donnell starts at Pittsburgh, big division game on the road.
As McNair recovered from his injury, O'Donnell filled the starting role against his former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. O'Donnell completed 13 of 27 pass attempts as the Titans claimed a 13-6 lead going into the fourth quarter. After a big hit forced O'Donnell from the game, Tennessee turned to the injured McNair. Facing a 3rd-and-11 from the Pittsburgh 36-yard line, McNair effortlessly led the offense downfield. A touchdown pass to rookie tight end Aaron Kinney secured the come-from-behind win. McNair's late-game rally was the result of Tennessee's talented receivers.
Floyd, what do you remember about that game in Pittsburgh? O'Donnell knocked out of the game. Steve McNair, who was booed at home 2 weeks before, goes into the game and wins the game against Pittsburgh. And that, to me, was the moment. I don't think there was ever a negative fan feeling towards Steve McNair the rest of his career in Tennessee.
I mean, I just remember the game, you know, how big it was, and how he never hesitated. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, do we need to discuss this? Do we need to go to the medical tent? Do we need to? I mean, there was none of that. He just, Neil went out, and he wasn't planning on playing. Nobody expected him to play. He just went, put his, threw his helmet on, and was out there in a flash, and did what he needed to do. You know, I mean, it was a tremendous effort, because of course they were going to try to kill him if they could get to him, simply because they knew he was already dinged up a little bit.
So the Titans in 2002 started off 1-4, and then Steve McNair took off and really capped it with a great 2002 season on the road in the Meadowlands against the Giants. You remember this game in 2002?
Oh, yeah.
Titans end up down with 2 minutes to go. Matt Bryant, who is actually still kicking field goals today, which is amazing. Matt Bryant hits a field goal with 2:26 to go to put the Giants up 29-21, and Steve McNair takes over from there.
Which was hard to believe after number 9 walked the Titans into Giants Stadium in Week 13. Coordinator Mike Heimerdinger emptied the backfield and lined up 5 capable pass catchers, allowing McNair to connect with 9 different receivers for 334 yards. Still, the Titans faced an 8-point deficit late in the fourth quarter. In the clutch, the quarterback called on Mr. Reliable, Frank Weichel. Though wincing in pain from a rib injury he battled during the week, McNair had just enough left in his tank in overtime to lead Tennessee downfield and set up their third double-digit comeback of the season.
That had to be an exciting win on the road in the Meadowlands.
Well, I can remember I was before the game standing out in Sal Palantonio, who is a, I don't know what he is. He's like a sideline guy.
He's a reporter for ESPN.
Yeah, for ESPN.
Everyone knows Sal Pal.
Okay, well, Sal and I were talking, and he said, what about McNair? And I said, I got no idea. I said, he'll come out here in just a second, and we'll figure it out. About that time, Steve came walking out, went out, ran up and down the field a couple times, threw the ball around, walked back by me, winked at me, and went right in the locker room. Sal said, what do you think? I said, oh, he'll play.
Every week that had to make you nervous as hell. You know, Steve McNair does no practice, comes out 2 hours.
See, he went, I mean, people think, I mean, there were times that he went, you know, a week without practice. But I can remember this, a spell, and I can't remember which season it was. But he went like maybe half a season, 8 games without ever practicing. And you would say he can't, and you would say he can't play well. He'd go out and play like gangbusters, and you would go, "How is this possible?" You know, in a game so based on the fact that you have to prepare and you have to do this and that and the other, and it didn't make any difference to him. And he went through that whole spell, and never once could you look at it and say, "Well, that's because he didn't practice." You know, he threw the ball well, he ran well, he didn't make mental mistakes. I mean, it was the darndest thing ever.
Steve McNair missed 42 practices in a row in 2002.
And that must have been it.
Finished third in the MVP voting for the season.
That must have been the time.
So then you get to the divisional playoffs in 1999. The Titans are 13-3. The Titans pull off the Music City Miracle against Buffalo. But underdogs on the road, Peyton Manning and Indianapolis. In the second half, Titans are down 9-3. Give the ball to Eddie George.
On first down, Eddie George, room to run, up the middle, midfield, and there he goes, to the 10, touchdown, 68 yards.
Well, I must say, that's a statement made by your offense. They catch the Colts on a blitz. Look at everybody coming. John running, coming around, trying to make a tackle. Nobody on the inside. Jason Belzer, the safety, gets too far up in there. Can't make the tackle. And Eddie George just outruns everybody to the end zone.
Titans win 19-16, go on to Jacksonville the next week.
It was, I can remember him running and looking at the TV, the, whatever they call that, big screen, to see who, if they could catch. And I, because he was kind of running towards us, I can remember looking at his eyes, and he's looking up at that screen just to make sure nobody would catch him. That was the first game that we thought we were really home. We were really, because when we went to Indy, it was incredible. The number of people, the number of Titan people that were up there in the hotel, we couldn't get into the hotel because the lobby, the second and third floor of the lobby was completely full of Titan people. And when one of the players walked through, they'd yell and cheer and go wild. I mean, you, at that point in time, we kind of realized that, hey, you know, they kind of like us. We're going to do okay.
Well, when you hear that Bill Polian,
it was Bill Polian after the game came to me and he said, where'd all you guys get those tickets? I said, I have no idea where they got their tickets. He said, I think my ticket guy might be double dipping because there's no way your people should have ended up with that many tickets. I said, I have no idea, Bill. He said, I may have to fire my ticket guy.
Poor ticket guy.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess they just got him off of whatever.
And so what's funny is when you listen to that highlight, you can hear the Titans fans in the background cheering. You know, Peyton, as Eddie's running
Peyton
through the
park. Had to go on silent count. So that gives you an idea how many Titans fans there were there. And I can remember being down on the bench and turning around and looking at the people behind the bench. And they're usually always, if you're in Baltimore, I mean, if you're in Indy, it's always Colt fans. They were all Titan fans. I mean, every one for like rows. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, where do you people come from? You know, it was fantastic.
So that's three of the five moments. I promise we will get to the first and second moments. I think the two best moments in the history of Steve McNair and Eddie George. But I think those three moments that we go to, the game, the comeback against the Giants, McNair entering the game against the Steelers, and then the game in Indianapolis, Eddie George breaks off a 66-yard run. Those three stuck out to me as big moments. We'll get to the other two. But Corey Curtis from News 2 is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on Steve McNair and Eddie George. We'll get his thoughts on the jersey retirement of those guys, and, of course, on the Colts game as well. We are loaded today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, Steve McNair, and Eddie George will have their jerseys retired on Sunday against the Colts. Interesting fact, Floyd, that I told you before the show. The Titans have honored two former Titans, or I guess they have had two ceremonies at halftime of Colts games at Nissan Stadium. 2002, the Titans honored Bruce Matthews at halftime. Titans went on to win that game. And 2008, the Titans inducted Eddie George, Steve McNair, and Frank Wycheck into the franchise's Ring of Honor, and they went on to win that game. So maybe
let's hope
that's a good omen
yeah.
for this week. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us now on the show. Corey, how do we feel about what I call the Colts curse?
Well, I don't think it was a Colts curse. I think it was an elite quarterback curse. When you play Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning for 20 straight years, you're going to lose a lot of football games. Now, having said that, they lost quite a few of those 11 games to Andrew Luck when they looked like they were going to win those games. But it always comes down to the Colts have had more playmakers and ultimately been able to make enough plays down the stretch. And I think that's had to do more with it than any kind of curse.
So the reason I believe in the Colts curse is because I don't feel good about this game, and they've got Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
The Colts are good, Jared. You don't have it doesn't have to have a curse for that to happen. I mean, that offensive line is really good, and it's got nothing to do with a curse.
Well, my whole theory behind it is if the reason the Titans can't beat the Colts is because of quarterback play, and then Andrew Luck retires and Jacoby Brissett's the starter, then I should feel good about it, and I don't feel good about it.
Times change, brother. Times change. The Colts, for 20 years, I'm sure Floyd will disagree with this. I viewed them as a finesse team, you know, because they were so precision and fast and, you know, on point. They are a bruising, battering bunch. They look like the Titans now. They look like the Titans. It's a complete flip-flop of the script here for Indianapolis. They look like Tennessee.
I would agree 100%. And they were a finesse team. A good finesse team, but they were a finesse team, but no longer. Big weekend for Steve and Eddie, of course. Your fondest memories or your fondest story of the two?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great stories about Eddie. One of them I was never a part of was the team meeting he called for that he showed up late for. That was always a memorable one. But my time working in the booth with Eddie is what I will always treasure most, because I got to know him. I get to call him a friend now, and we talk about stuff. And, you know, I know neither of those guys are in the Hall of Fame, and I know you can argue stats and this and that or the other thing, but as I sat there yesterday with Eddie fielding questions for 20 minutes and could have fielded them for an hour longer, I said to myself, what more do we want from a guy? I mean, mm-hmm. He hasn't played in 15 years, and we're all sitting here enamored with everything he has to say. When you say Tennessee Titans, you still think Steve McNair and Eddie George. Those are the first two names that roll off the tongue. So when you talk about the history of the NFL and telling the story of the history of the NFL, you can't talk about the Tennessee Titans without talking about Steve McNair and Eddie George. I would like to see those guys get a push for the Hall of Fame. It's not going to happen, but I would like to see it. And if they're not going to get that, then I think that this is as big of an honor as they can possibly get. I've been calling for a couple of years, and their legacies will now live forever, where 50 years from now, people will point at 9-27, and there'll be somebody there who will know enough to tell them the stories about those two guys and why their numbers are up there. And, you know, Floyd, as we get older, legacy becomes important. Who's going to remember us when we're gone? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to Eddie. And I think it's great for the city of Nashville and Titan fans everywhere that they start to get some ownership in the history of this franchise. And I think this is a great step. That's a long answer about Eddie. He had a lot of great playing moments. My favorite playing moment for Eddie is still the touchdown run in the Super Bowl when he powered his way in.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the most fantastic things.
Dragging a couple guys.
One of the most
guys.
Fantastic tests of wills
that
I have ever seen a man accomplish on his own.
What has to happen for the Titans this weekend?
Well, I mean, they've got to be stout up front on defense. I mean, they just do, because if they allow the Colts to run the ball, it will get nothing but worse all day. So they need to turn this into a Jacoby Brissett game. And if Jacoby Brissett beats them, then he beats them. But they need to be strong on defense. And I think this game also comes down to touchdowns versus field goals. Whichever team kicks the most field goals, probably not going to win this one.
Corey Curtis, news to our guest here on the show. I believe that the number one key to this game on Sunday is time of possession. If Derrick Henry runs the football well, which I think the Colts are going to try everything in their power to keep Derrick Henry from running the ball like crazy. If Derrick Henry runs the ball well, Tennessee wins. If the Titans defense in that 95-degree heat is on the field for 33-plus minutes, I think Marlon Mack will break a couple, or they'll lose T.Y. or something like that, and they'll lose the game. Am I crazy for wondering if Derrick Henry can do it? Because I know the Colts are going to put everything in their game plan against Derrick Henry.
Well, he can't do it by himself. I mean, he's got to get another good effort from the offensive line and from everybody else. Because we can all pat Derrick Henry on the back for that 75-yard touchdown, but the simple fact is he was not touched. A lot of people can run in a straight line really fast. Now, Derrick does it really, really well, but he wasn't touched because the team executed so well on that play, and the team is going to execute again. But you're absolutely right. The Colts want to turn this into a Marcus Mariota game. But it's not coincidence that Mariota's three touchdown passes all came on play action last week. It's what he does best, and Arthur Smith knows that. When he was with DeMarco Murray for 2 years, I believe he was the number one play-action quarterback in the league. Arthur Smith knows that. The Colts are going to sell out against Derrick Henry. I look for play action. I look for a couple of strikes downfield, and I look for a huge day underneath against the zone for Walker and Humphreys. So I don't think Henry's going to have to do it by himself, but he's going to have to do enough to set up play action, that's for sure.
On the other side of that, we have had I still have nightmares about T.Y. Hilton and the tight ends.
He always gets deep, doesn't he?
I mean, how do you...
Just sneaks his way back there.
And it seems like we've tried everything. You know, you think over a period of time, because every time you play him, he scores a couple of touches, you're going to do everything you can, and I'm sure Dean is, and yet he just continues to score.
You know, I always said, like, you should get, like, a sumo wrestler and put him in goal for hockey. He just take up so much space. Maybe it's time to put, like, Brent Urban in front of T.Y. Hilton on the line and see if he can get past him. Because the Titans have tried everything else to stop him. I mean, look, the guy's an explosive playmaker, and it doesn't matter how good your defenders are, those guys tend to make plays. He's going to catch balls. It's just like Odell Beckham last week, and not because they both wear 13. The big key isn't how many passes he catches. It's how many yards he gets after he catches them. They got to rally to the football. You saw the touchdown he had last week against the Chargers. He should have been held for, like, virtually no gain. Two guys absolutely whiffed on him, and he scores like a 15-yard touchdown. The Titans have to be on point. They've got to slow him once he's got it, and they've got to rally to the football effectively once again. I'm not going to give you the corny line of you're not going to stop him, you just got to contain him. But you just have to be realistic. He's going to catch the ball, but you got to tackle him. If you can tackle him all day, he's not going to kill you.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take of the week, Corey?
You know, my hot take was Eddie George, but I just blew all that out in one shot, so I've got another one. I don't think, and, you know, this can go for all sports, but I think the NFL especially, because I view the NFL draft as more unique than other sports because of the ramifications of it. I don't like rewarding teams for being bad on purpose. And the Miami Dolphins are going to go 0-16, and they're going to do it on purpose. They got fans who bought tickets before they ever dumped Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, and now eventually here Minka Fitzpatrick. They got players on their team that are selling out every day for the team with the belief that they want to win games, when the team is doing nothing to help support them win games. I don't care what their long-term plan is, they're trying to lose as many games as they can right now. That should not be rewarded with the first pick of the draft. I don't know what the resolution is to it, but I know what stinks, and this smells like rotten cheese to me.
So I agree with you. Floyd is anti-tanking in the NFL. He doesn't believe that it happens.
Well, they're not tanking. They're not going out saying, hey, guys, go out and lose this game. But they, on purpose, have not put an effective product out on that football field. When you trade away Laremy Tunsil, you're not putting an effective product in the field. And I know they got draft picks. I know they absolutely fleeced the Miami Dolphins. I do. I absolutely do. But just like the trade for Khalil Mack with the Raiders is a terrible trade, of good players, you should not be in the position of trading away the good players that you've got. That's just my take on it.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, we will see you this weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
It's going to be a great weekend. I implore the fans, and I'm not a cheerleader. We all know that. This team's had three straight winning seasons. You're celebrating one of the two titans of your franchise. The Colts are in town. By the way, the Titans have a chance to go 2-0 for just the third time in 20 years.
Ooh.
The fans need to respond. It's not on the team. It's on the fans to be out there for this one.
The third time in 20 years. I'm trying to think in my head when that would be. I'm guessing 1999, obviously, they were 2-0. And 2003? Oh, 2008. That's right. They started 10-0 in 2008. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Appreciate it, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, have a great one.
We'll see you. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us on the show. I think the fans should be there on Sunday, too. And I think the fans should be there to honor Steve McNair and Eddie George.
I think they will be.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I don't know. So I told you that we'd have the five moments for Steve McNair and Eddie George. We got through three of them. The top two moments for Steve McNair and Eddie George. We'll get to that next. Jared of the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Everybody loves Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and tastes so great. That's right. I've been enjoying ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey for a while now, and I know a lot of Nashville has. That's why this weekend, big celebrations going on. Maybe your team goes to 2-0. I don't know. You got to get Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right, Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. Jared the GM at ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
The Titans have had a guiding hand for years in Steve McNair. In 2002, he showed he's still growing and getting better. McNair leads by example. And this Mississippi country boy showed dedication, hard work, and sacrifice. He demonstrated elusiveness and heart, despite numerous injuries that took him out of practice for 41 days at the end of the season. There was no question Steve McNair would be on the field come game day. Throughout those injury-riddled weeks, McNair guided the Titans to an undefeated December. This fierce competitor put himself on the line and refused to let his team down. Arguably the league's most irreplaceable player, McNair was overlooked everywhere except for the Mid-South.
That was NFL Films on Steve McNair's 2002 season. Boy, he was a good 41 days of missed practice and still finished third in the MVP voting. The Titans, of course, going to honor Steve McNair and Eddie George. I hope it's a good turnout on Sunday. So, Floyd, we went through what I think are five of the biggest moments, the five biggest moments for Steve McNair and Eddie George's Titans. And the fifth was Pittsburgh in 2002. Steve McNair comes off the bench in relief, and that was really when he cemented himself as the guy in the hearts of Titans fans. 2002, at New York, Steve McNair leads the Titans from a huge double-digit deficit. Titans end up winning that game in overtime, including, by the way, a two-point conversion with 9 seconds to go in that game. Number three, Eddie George runs for 66 yards, down 9-6 in the AFC Divisional Playoffs at Indianapolis. So we got two more to go. Floyd, I think we've got to bring in primetime. I had to dig this up. NFL primetime, Boomer and Tom Jackson, the second half of their breakdown of the 1999 AFC Championship game.
First possession, third quarter, Jacksonville. Brunell to Alvis Whitted. Oh, he just dropped it. He lost it in the moon. And the Jags have to punt. The Titans take over. Steve McNair. Look at him avoid what would be serious negative yards. Not once, not twice, but three times. And turn it into a first down. And, by the way, roughing the passer on Tony Brackett's first down and a flag. Later in the drive on second and nine, Steve McNair for Kevin Dyson. Fernando Bryan grabs his arm, pass interference, first and goal. Now on second and goal, McNair, touchdown, and the Titans lead for the first time, 17-14. Jags continue to make mistakes, Tom.
Yeah, the throw here to Kyle Brady, and watch the linebacker, Eddie Robinson, do a great job of not only wrapping right there, but he's going to pull that ball out, force another turnover on the Jags. Titans pick the ball up.
Titans looking to stretch the lead now. McNair to Frank Wycheck. It's a fumble, and Jacksonville gets a big break. They recover as Tennessee is going in. It's a huge break, or was it? Watch 91 Josh Evans. Wrap up Brunell for the safety. And instead, it's the defense that does the scoring, not the offense. It's 19-14. And the ensuing free kick, which of course is a punt off, Derek Mason makes 2 points. 9 points. He could go all the way. 80 yards like they did against Buffalo. Really a 9-point play, Tom. It's now a big 26-14 lead. Here comes Kenny Holmes. It's a fumble. Javon Kearse picks it up. And one of the only things he's done wrong all year, he tries to hand off to Samari Roll. It's a turnover for both teams. Jacksonville ball, just like the diagram in the film room. Jags still can't take advantage, though. Donald Mitchell makes the pick for Tennessee. Fifth turnover by Jacksonville. Trying to ice the game on third and one. McNair with under 8 minutes to go. Look at the run, Tommy. Look at the speed.
And look at the speed. Once he breaks past the safeties, look at the angles, get destroyed, gets the ball all the way down inside the one-yard line.
And it's like the whole line pushed him in on the next play. They wanted him to get the touchdown. Three times. The Titans have beaten the Jags.
Jeff Fisher's club and Bruce Matthews, after 17 years, is finally going to a Super Bowl. Tennessee, down at half, rolls in the second half at Jacksonville, beating the Jaguars 33-14.
Tennessee going to the Super Bowl would sound like a pretty wild and crazy half right there, Floyd.
Oh, it was wild and crazy.
Was it not crazy? Good to hear Boomer and TJ breaking it down back in the day.
Yeah, that's fun.
And Steve McNair making a huge play with his legs, and Eddie George with a huge reception on a big play. And that was kind of the moment. I mean, I think everybody remembers that were Titan fans back then remembers what it was like in 99 when the team made it to the Super Bowl. It was like the entire city was just everything the Titans did was it was everybody was talking about it. You go to school, everyone's talking about the Titans. You would go back to school, everyone's talking about the Titans. Everybody was talking about the Titans. They were the hit of the city at that point.
We were coming back from that game and landing at the airport, and the pilot comes back to me and he says, "You know, the airport is like full." He goes, "We don't know if we're going to be able to get you off. Can we go someplace else, like to another terminal or another?" I said, "Nope, we're going right there." It was wild because, again, you can imagine how big those corridors are, and they may be a lot bigger now. I don't know, but they're big. And, I mean, there was only enough room to walk through single file, one guy at a time. You literally two guys couldn't make it. It was that crowded. It was wild.
And it was funny because somebody said at the time to the media, said there were more people at the airport than there were when we played in Memphis.
Oh, there were a ton of people at the airport.
Which takes me to the final Steve McNair and Eddie George moment. The number one moment is the final victory between Steve McNair and Eddie George, but a closing of the book, the 2003 divisional playoffs at Baltimore. The Titans, of course, had their problems with the Ravens in 2000, and there had been a rivalry brewing. And in 2003, the Titans went to Baltimore as a wild card in the AFC divisional playoffs.
That rises to the top, the emotions that goes with the playoffs, the physicalness that everybody plays with. It's a one-game season, and everybody is plan for just that one game. Every week is a hard week, you know, in the regular season, but every game in the playoffs is a hard game. It's a tough fought game.
Hey, man, forget the smoke and mirrors. Stay right here for 60 minutes of firm focus. Focus on executing and dominating. Come out here and play from the spirit. Had a life, game of your life, man. One of the three. Let's go.
In the first round of the playoffs, Tennessee faced an old nemesis. The Titans had lost their last five games against the Ravens, and Eddie George was criticized for having Ray Lewis get the best of him. But on this day, George would get the best of Baltimore and lead an unstoppable running attack complemented by rookie Chris Brown. Battling a rabid Ravens crowd, Steve McNair threw three interceptions, one of which ended with seemingly disastrous results.
Eddie's gone to the locker room. He can't handle it.
Obviously, the Ravens underestimated Eddie George. Coming off a regular season where he became the 17th back to eclipse 10,000 yards, George played inspired football. He wouldn't back down, and his team drew inspiration from his gutsy performance. The success of the running game gave McNair the ability to air things out, and a 49-yard pass to McCarron's gave the Titans a 14-10 fourth quarter lead. The defense took the cues from the offense's all-out effort, manhandling Anthony Wright. The NFL's leading rusher, Jamal Lewis, was overshadowed by Eddie George. The defense held Lewis to a paltry 35 yards on 14 carries, but the Ravens wouldn't go away, and the game was tied with 3 minutes remaining.
We gave them a couple opportunities to stay in the football game with interceptions and turnovers, but, you know, we knew at the end, if we was close, you know, we had a chance to win.
Coach Fisher looked on as his aching, wounded quarterback mustered up the strength for one last drive. 8 plays, 35 yards, 2 minutes and 15 seconds. All to set up the ageless Gary Anderson, who began the season at home, but now had the chance to be a hero.
D-Unit! It's on you, baby! It's on you, baby!
Tennessee showed heart and determination, overcoming adversity to defeat Baltimore.
And that was the number one moment and the final victory for Steve McNair and Eddie George together with the Tennessee Titans. The Titans would go on to New England the next week and lose to Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Mike Vrabel in what was one of an all-time classic that people forget about, a great playoff game between the two teams, the Titans and the Patriots. But that win at Baltimore kind of closed the door on that early 2000s Titans-Ravens rivalry, and the Titans ended up going to Baltimore and getting the win.
Yeah. That was a big win for us, and Eddie, if I remember correctly, had hurt his shoulder,
separated his shoulder,
and it was, you know, they come to you and say he's probably done, you know, he can't play anymore, and went in halftime, came back out and played better than maybe in the first half, never winced, never, you know, pulled back, never let up. I mean, it was incredible.
So if you heard in the highlight there, and that was NFL Films, if you heard in the highlight there, you heard the Baltimore fan going, Eddie's going to the locker room. He can't handle it. He can't take it. And Eddie George comes back out in the second half with a sling on. And I think the moment when he knocked Ray Lewis over in that game and got up in Ray Lewis's face, I think that moment meant a lot to the team. That was kind of a moment of, hey, I know the Ravens have got the better of us the last couple of years, but we're not backing down from this team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always wonder, like, this team, who would get up in Ray Lewis's face right now? I don't know who would. But to me, I think those two, the AFC Championship game, obviously, but then the final chapter where, look, Eddie George's career at that point, Steve McNair was league MVP. The team had gone from a run team to a passing team. You could tell Eddie George was kind of towards the end of his tenure with the Titans, and Eddie went out there and had a masterful performance in the final Titan win of his career. On the road at Baltimore.
And all those games against Baltimore were bigger than just games. You know, it was a test of manhood. I mean, it was brutal. On both sides. You know, I mean, it was, they tried to kill us, and we tried to kill them, and that went on for 60 minutes. And I'm going to tell you what, now the faint of heart, they were gone. They could not play in a game like that.
It's funny, if you watch the Football Life documentary on Eddie George, Ray Lewis chalks up Eddie knocking him over and getting into his face, said that he took a bad angle or didn't get the right leverage or whatever it was on that one. And that's what Ray Lewis said.
That's what I'd say, too.
Let's take some calls on Steve McNair and Eddie George. If you got a Steve McNair, Eddie George thought, get it in. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on Steve and Eddie Day. Also, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.
How much responsibility do you feel to Steve's legacy, given that he's not here, and what's it mean to go in or have this honor together with him?
I don't know so much of responsibility. It's my calling. I think responsibility is something that you have to do. My calling is something that I want to do, and I'm aligned to do. It's within my spirit to do. And, you know, Steve is always going to be my teammate till the day I die. And anytime that I can talk about his legacy and share with people the type of player he was, the type of man he was, the type of leader that he was, in the physical form, you have to do that because it can change a life. It can spark inspiration. It can ignite somebody to do great things. You know, just talking to a young man just now, AJ, in terms of what he's experiencing now, what he wants to accomplish, I can go back and draw on some of the experiences I had my personally and with Steve to say, hey, you have hope. Calm down. It's week one. You know, I've been there. Just relax. Trust me. You're going to say, it's week one. Damn, it's 16. When does it end? You know, so just it's okay. So Steve will always, always have a place in my heart. And anytime I have a chance to raise him up and to talk about and highlight the great things that he's done in this community, on this team, what he's meant to the NFL, period, I'm going to do just that.
Eddie George, Steve McNair, Eddie George Day to Sunday at Nissan Stadium. I said there will not be a dry eye in the house. I know the GM's eyes won't be dry on Sunday when they honor Steve McNair and Eddie George. Do you have a thought on Steve or Eddie, or you want to go right to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Phones we go on Steve and Eddie. Keith has been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys, I'll be quick, but I've got three moments I want to share. The first one is I grew up being a Colts fan, and when Tennessee moved to Nashville, I was for them, but I didn't know who I would be for whenever they played each other in the playoffs. Then whenever Eddie took off and on that long run and washed himself up in the Jumbotron, and I was up on my feet hollering for him to go, I knew I converted. Steve, his moment was whenever we played Pittsburgh that Super Bowl year, and Steve went around the left side, left end right there at the goal line, and jumped, and they twirled him, and he scored the touchdown, got right up. But my favorite Eddie George moment was in, I think it was his last year, whenever we were trying to run the clock out. It was like third and one. He went up to the line carrying the ball. Ray Lewis got him right at the line of scrimmage, and Eddie just carried him across the first down marker. Mm-hmm. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the call, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
Let's go to Ty, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Ty?
Hey, what's up, guys? So, all right, so my memory involves Eddie George, and honestly, this memory is the reason that I became a Titans fan. I'm only 25, so I was born in 94. And when I was about 4 or 5 years old, the Titans, they had must have just become the Titans, you know, in the past year. And I remember I walked into my granny's house, and I could smell the food in the air. You could see the smoke. I hooked a right. Everybody is screaming and freaking out, and they kind of parted out of the way, and I can just see Eddie George just sprinting down the sideline full speed. And I started freaking out too, man. I could feel like I was just now there, man. It's a great memory.
I remember when the team first moved. Thank you for the call. I didn't really watch football when the team first moved.
Really?
Yeah. No, like in the early night. I liked the Atlanta Braves. I liked baseball. I liked Michael Jordan on the Bulls, you know, so I watched a little basketball. But I didn't really, you know, Vandy sucked and Tennessee was, you know, we didn't like Tennessee growing up. So. I just, you know, I'd watch, I guess, a little bit. I went to one game when they were the Oilers at Vanderbilt Stadium. I told my dad, I'm never coming back. I said, I like, team stinks, stadium stinks, I'm never coming back. And obviously that's, you know, not the case. But, man, Steve and Eddie, they those were the only two guys I really knew. You know, when they started off, I'm like, I know McNair and George. I don't know anybody else. But then very quickly, I was like, I remember watching the first preseason game, being like, this Javon Curse is pretty good, Dad. My dad's like, my dad was like, you know, I remember my dad, too, being like, it was the day after. They go to Kansas City, they get waxed in a preseason game. I don't know anything. And I said to my dad, I'm like, Dad, this Javon Curse and Samari Roll, they're really good. My dad's like, look, they're really young. Curse is a rookie. Yeah, he'll probably do nothing this year. 14 and a half sacks. Corey is up next. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Just something I wanted to kind of, you know, talk about or mention. Not only were these two individuals great players, but every once in a while when you get different franchises, you have guys that kind of transcend their decade and when they played. And you kind of look back, and there are certain players within a franchise that you wouldn't have – the franchise wouldn't be the same, well, success on the field and just the aura around the franchise and who the franchise kind of is without certain players. And I think it's important to recognize that these two guys are the latter. Not only were they great players, but the Tennessee Titans wouldn't be the Tennessee Titans we know without those guys in the history of the organization.
So the way – I think it's a great, great –
good point.
You know, yeah. Thank you for the call. The way I look at it is some guys are not bigger – nobody's bigger than the team, right? You know, right. They always say nobody's bigger than the team. Delanie Walker gets hurt, you move on week one to – some guys, though, are the team. And those two guys, when this team was good in that window, they were the team. I remember a playoff game against Pittsburgh. Steve McNair cut his thumb on somebody's helmet. Had to come out of the game. And they had to, like, sew it up or whatever on the sidelines. So Neil O'Donnell goes in for a series, plays first and second down, and then McNair runs back out for third down. Well, we're up in the stands. So when we see O'Donnell run out on the field, we're like, what's going – where's Steve? You know, and, of course, we all knew that Steve McNair was dealing with about 1,700 injuries, so we didn't know which one it was. And O'Donnell goes in there, and Neil, I think, threw a pass or something like that, but Neil comes right out of the game. Steve goes running back out there. It's like, okay, good. You know, and nothing against Neil, because Neil was as good of a backup as you could have had in the NFL.
Oh, he was outstanding.
But still, it was like, where's Steve? Steven is up next here on Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, guys. My favorite Steve McNair memory is how overrated he was and how much Neil O'Donnell needed to be the starter of those early Titans teams, and how damn stupid myself and my friends and the other Titans fans who were hollering for Neil O'Donnell to be the starter. That's my favorite memory, is not only the adversity that McNair faced on the field with all the injuries and the opposing defenses, but completely turning a fan base and their disinterest into such love and support. That's my favorite McNair moment.
It's funny is that if you were a stupid general manager, Floyd, like if you were one of these guys that runs the Jets or one of those kind of teams, you may have listened to some of that noise.
Oh, it was loud for a while. I mean, it didn't bother us, but I was kind of shocked to begin with. You know, I mean, when I'm thinking, you know, what's this all about? And I kept thinking to myself, well, if they just watch, you know, if they just stay with us, they'll be fine. And ended up being okay.
My dad's like the biggest Steve McNair fan of all time. And so I hate throwing him under the bus. But he 100% was like, ah, better get the O'Donnell jerseys ready. Because he did not believe it. Oh, and he's honestly probably one of the biggest Steve McNair fans there ever was now. But that's just how it was. Yeah. We'll take more of your phones, and we will get back to them. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, Marcus Mariota was horrible in the one half of football he played against Frank Reich and the Colts. What do we make of that going into Sunday against Indianapolis? We'll discuss next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jerry and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.